The New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, reading from chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Researchers have found that on average, a 5-year-old smiles 113 times a day. But adults, by the time they reach the age of 40, smile only about 11 times a day. Somehow, between birth and 21, we lose 102 smiles and a good deal of the joy of life. I don't know about you, but nowadays, most days, I find it hard to come up with my 11 smiles a day. 113, of course, is completely out of the question. The unending avalanche of bad news and the seeming unraveling of civilized society would drown out even Walmart's blaring recording of Andy Williams crooning, "It's the most happiest time of the year." Every week as I prepare my sermon and the prayers for worship, no sooner do I start writing than some terrible news of the day invades my study. Tragic fires in California. Indiscriminate shootings. The threat of a nuclear conflagration on the Korean Peninsula. And the political scene? Need I say more? I confess I grow weary. At times I feel like the joy of life has drained out of me like the sap of a maple tree. And then this third Sunday of Advent rolls around. Gaudete Sunday, it is traditionally called, from the Latin rendering of the first word of our New Testament lesson. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. These words of Paul to the Philippians have never been more sorely needed, nor sounded more out of touch. For in this little letter, Paul dares to affirm that the life of joy means that we don't have anything to worry about. Not gun violence, not war, not terrorism. No matter how bad our circumstance, Paul affirms we can live with joy because we are in God's hands. Now you may be saying to yourself, what does Paul know? He does not live in our kind of world with its daily pressures and anxieties and threats. True. But Paul did know some things about hardship. Paul wrote these words about rejoicing in the Lord always after being shipwrecked, harassed, beaten, and threatened. Which of those tragedies can you claim for yourself? Many scholars think that Paul actually wrote these words from a prison cell where he was jailed because of his faith. Paul had every reason to be unhappy, every reason to be weary. Yet Paul was filled with joy. How could that be? Paul was joyful because Paul had been transformed through his faith in Christ. Paul was no longer dependent on having good things happening for him to be of good cheer. Paul had a peace which could not be taken from him and a joy which knew no end. Joy is not a transitory thing. Joy is neither a feeling nor an emotion. Joy is an ongoing fixture in your soul, an outlook, a way of life. Joy is a pattern of response to tragedy and triumph, despair and ecstasy, life and death. Joy is not a feeling. It is a way of life, and it cannot be taken from you. Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl wrote, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. Those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. Everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." The Apostle Paul put it this way, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and you will have no anxiety about anything." A child is happy when she receives a new bicycle. A child reaches for joy when she learns how to ride that bicycle. Bicycles come and go. They get too small for the rider. They break down. They are stolen. But the ability to ride a bicycle can never be taken from you. Happiness is a response to a good thing happening to you. Joy is the lifelong response of a person transformed by faith. But the question is joy an option or is it an essential part of the Christian life? Are some Christians simply joyful types and other Christians are joyless? Is joy a winsome optional feature to the Christian life, a sort of upgrade? Or is joy part and parcel of Christian faith? I ask this because I know many of us are not joyful, or at least are seldom cheerful by nature or personality type or temperament. Our way of being in the world is neither bubbly nor bouncy. Some of us are melancholic types for whom even smiling is a special occasion. If that describes you, does that mean you don't have faith? Of course not. But I think Paul would insist that joy, rightly understood, is not an optional upgrade, not an add-on. A life of joy is what the Christian life is all about, and growing in joy is an expression of spiritual growth. So what is joy rightly understood? What does it look like to live with Christian joy? Christian joy flows straight out of our experience with God. Our experience of God's grace, our acceptance of God's loving acceptance of us. The good news of this Advent season is that God has entered human life and in Jesus brings us into a new relationship with God and neighbor. The good news of Advent is God loves you. And in that love, you have all you need to live with conviction, to endure every hardship, and to find personal peace and fulfillment. The good news of Advent is summarized by the prophet Isaiah. "God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation." Joy is the lived response to that glorious good news. The life of joy begins then when you embrace the God who embraces you. Joy is rooted in your own self-understanding as a child of God and a person of worth. From the strength and power of this gift of God, you can find your calling, your place in this world, and your place in God's family. And the place that is reserved for you is filled with hope, love, peace, and joy. Embracing the God who embraces us leads us to embrace our neighbors as fellow children of God. Jesus fully accepted the teaching of the Hebrew Torah that the basic religious act is to love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. To live with joy is to treat your neighbors with respect, to extend them the same merciful kindness God extends to you. To live with joy is to believe that God is at work in your neighbors' lives too. To live with joy is to share your life and your blessings with your neighbors, to grant them the same dignity you claim for yourself. To live with joy is to expect as much or as little of your neighbors as you expect of yourself. Simply put, to live with joy is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And to live with joy is a stance towards the world. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is an action flowing from deeply held convictions, an attitude, a way of being in the world. Joy is an attitude of faith. The joyful person believes the world, God's world, is good. Because the world is good, I have a place in this world, a place where I can grow and find fulfillment, serve, and make a difference. Because the world is God's, we have a duty to preserve God's good creation. And because the world is filled with my neighbors, we are called to build up the world, to bring human society closer to God's ideals of goodness and mercy and justice for all. To live with joy is to affirm the world, even when evil abounds and the world appears to be completely hopeless. To live with joy is to remove barriers which exclude and to lift burdens which weigh heavily on our neighbors' shoulders. To live with joy is to not give up on this world, but to work and pray with the hope for that day when God's kingdom will come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you may not be joyful by nature or temperament or experience, but you can live with joy. You can learn to live with more joy. As our confessions remind us, in life and in death, we belong to God. Don't worry about everything. Have no anxiety about anything. God is good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Take your concerns and anxieties to God in prayer, giving thanks for all that God has done and is doing and will do for you and with you and through you. Good Christian friends, remember to rejoice. Look for the good in yourself. Look for the good in your neighbor. Look for the good in the world. For we have the assurance that if we do turn to God, then we will find the joyous peace of God. There's a story in the Jewish Talmud of a king who has a son who leaves home going astray far from his father. The king sends word to his son, "Return to your father." "I cannot," answers the son. Then the king sends a messenger to say, "Return as far as you can, and I will come to meet you the rest of the way." In Jesus Christ, whose coming we await, God calls us to come home, calls us to live in joy. And in Jesus Christ, God comes to meet us when we have come as far as we can. God comes to us to make our joy complete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.